Welcome back to folks at Quincy Asian Resources. Are extremely busy as always. We have several different programs to talk about today and maybe a recap of things that have already happened in 2022. So we welcome Philip Chong, Rocky Chan, and a newcomer maybe folks aren't familiar with yet, Tina Ho, but you will be because she is really the brains behind the operations. So welcome to all three of you. Thanks for coming. Philip, good to see you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, it's our pleasure. It's our pleasure.
How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Yeah, the weather's getting better.
Yes.
Looks like the pandemic is waning, thankfully.
Yes.
Folks are starting to get back to some normal routines. Are you finding that at Quarry as well?
Definitely.
Yeah.
And the surge of the Omicron in early January definitely gave us some hard time. But we're still working hard to support our clients and the city being so supportive.
Yeah, it forced you to put Lunar New Year into a virtual operation again this year, right?
Yes, yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, because, you know, it's been 30-something years that we've been doing in the partnership with the city and our community supporters and also Quincy Public Schools. But the team being so creative and innovative,
yep,
and with our board, they did some amazing stuff to give back to everyone in Quincy.
Yes. Now I know that at the height of the pandemic, getting people critical food, clothing, medical services, vaccinations, testing was all extremely important. Is that still part of the routine or is that taking a back seat?
Definitely the volume is going down some big portion, but I think that mental support and being here and it's part of the extension for the city that showing, you know, we all hands together.
Sure.
So it's just been so, resonating in terms of everything happening in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a home here in Quincy that we can count on each other. So,
yeah. Now, is Quarry open again to the public? I mean, can folks come in? You are open.
Okay. Yes, we are open.
Okay.
We've been open and the team been working hard doing Tai Chi class with the elders.
Oh, okay.
So making sure they're active.
Very good.
The youth, since last summer, they're doing amazing stuff,
mm-hmm,
bringing the youth out. It's also, people think that besides the elders and others getting the biggest impact, but the youth actually, with the impact of not being able to go to school at the time. So,
yeah, and Rocky, I know that the youth programs are really something that you're very concerned about.
Yeah, when we were going through the pandemic, even before, we were focusing on breaking the stigma of mental health in the immigrant community.
Right.
And then when the pandemic hit, and we saw the effect of remote learning and the isolation that was going on, we focused our programs to have more of a mental health component, like check-ins. And now that we are in a hybrid at Quarry, we are continuing our bubble tea time, which is a once a month activity where youth can sign up and come in and meet in person, have free bubble tea, and have a guided discussion on topics that really concern them that they may not be able to share with their parents or they can't share with their best friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you say stigma, what do you mean?
There's a stigma in the immigrant community regarding mental health.
Okay.
Some are more severe than others, mm-hmm, but it's the idea that it's a shameful thing to talk about.
I see.
Or it's a private matter that should stay only in the home.
Okay. So just seeking help for that alone could be a roadblock.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's why we're partnering with the Quincy Public Schools,
mm-hmm,
and also one of our community partners, Walker Therapeutic, to, mm-hmm, help break that stigma. We actually had participated in North Quincy High School's mental well-being day. It was from 10:30 to like 12:45. Dove, Quarry was there tabling, as well as Walker and some others, just to give us some free swag and also, mm-hmm, let them know that there are different services the youth can come and that we are here for them.
Yeah, mm-hmm, it's critical. Tina, I want to bring you in now and talk about a relatively new program that you're kind of spearheading, right? It's called the Quincy Community Interpretation Training Program in partnership with the city.
Yes, so we have launched our new program with City of Quincy and the CCCS. CCCS is Cross-Cultural Communication System Inc. So we partner with both of them, and then we launched like a community interpretation training program. So we open like a four language to the like a local community member, Quincy residents, like such as Mandarin, Cantonese, okay. Vietnamese, and Spanish. So one of their ideas is why we launched this program, to have them to learn something like the interpretation skills, how to do it, like when they have like a public hearing, when the city have like a public meeting with the community member, and also like a one-on-one like appointments, and also maybe just like in the city hall, some of the folks or the senior, they come in the city hall, yep. and they do not know how to speak English because the language barrier. Mm-hmm. So this training program is helping these students, to learn the general like a knowledge of the city, and also some of the available like, resources for the community. So they learn these, and then they will get involved with the community, and then they will help those community members, like the Quincy resident who has like a language barrier.
So how is mm-hmm. that different from your regular English as a second language program, your English training program? How do those two differ?
Can I?
Sure,
can
Phil,
I
of course.
That? Sorry.
I guess. Yeah. I guess we'll let you speak. Now that we can hear you, we fixed the microphone.
I think as Tina said, yeah. the language access is so important.
Sure.
For the city and for the growing Asian population, and not just Asian, for other immigrants
right.
as well.
Yep.
So the city has the vision, and it just, I think it personally is so innovative. It's about creating that sustainable ecosystem of talent, especially for immigrants. As an immigrant, a lot of bilingual, some of them with a bilingual, okay. so they can give back.
Yes.
So this training program is training them to give back to this community, to supporting maybe report card day at the public schools, mm-hmm. like what Tina's saying, city halls, and there's a public hearing, mm-hmm. Departments across cities.
Okay.
So we're partnering with a city planning department, Melissa Pond.
Oh, sure.
Yep. And the mayor office, in terms of how can we tap into the talent pool in the city and creating that circular okay. talent. So train them, and then they can give back.
Okay.
So I think it's ingenious.
Training them at Quarry, training them at City Hall?
Yes, so very good question. Yeah. So actually, when you're doing interpretation, there's a lot of nuances.
Yes.
So some people think that they do know both languages, but sometimes those nuances, it's really hard to technically interpreting at the same time.
Yeah.
So through the partnership with the city and CCCS, they actually train, they create a curriculum that training these students mm-hmm. that who enrolled for this program to really more precisely, accurately, and more culturally to getting that message out from both sides.
Okay,
so,
all right.
Yeah.
So I can give you an example. I know when it's time to vote,
yes.
a lot of volunteers go there to help check off the boxes of people and if also supply language support.
Yes.
If they participate in this type of certificate training, then they will be able to translate or interpret more effectively for the immigrant community.
Okay.
Because here in Quincy, it's not just the Asian languages, but also we have Arabic, we have Spanish, we have mm-hmm. a growing Portuguese.
Yeah.
So again, it's just a great idea from City Hall to help build equity mm-hmm. And access for so everyone can be a citizen and give back.
Yeah. Is there a cost for this program?
Right now, there is no cost. Okay. We're going through our first cohort right now.
Okay.
And that's going to end in early April.
Oh, all right.
So the program is they have a screening process.
Okay.
So really making sure that the participants, the student actually fluent in both languages.
Yes.
And then the city provides stipend. For people that completed the program.
Okay.
So it's really a win-win situation.
Yeah.
It's creating the engaging community with the city, with the people here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm proud of it.
Yeah. Tina, how do you kind of recruit people for this program? How are you reaching out, you know, to let folks know about it?
So, of course, like, we create a flyer, and then we mention, like, some of the, like, site career, like, and the class schedule, language available for the community member they register.
Yeah.
So we create a flyer, and we post the flyer on our social media, okay. Share with our community partners, such as, like, AACA, and also the City Hall, and the other, like, QCAP, and
yes.
They share with, like, who, like, share with the, like, a bilingual staff, and also bilingual, like, a community member who is, like, interested in giving back to the community.
Yeah.
Because they can use their, like, a bilingual, like, ability to help those, like, immigrants who don't speak English.
Yeah.
So we want to build, we want to be, like, their voice and help them to be, like, a communication, break the wall, break the bridge, like, because of the language barrier.
Yeah, I'm thinking it must be one of, if not the most serious roadblock that immigrants have to overcome. Just thinking, if myself, if I were going to a foreign-speaking country, that would be the number one problem, right, or issue that you'd have to address before you could really discuss anything else.
Yeah.
You need to know how to communicate in somebody's native language.
So the training, So the training. See, I told you.
Go right ahead, Philip.
So the training is not only Chinese; it's also Spanish and Vietnamese.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a very dynamic and bring all people together.
Where are you finding these trainers? Where are you finding?
So CCCS is a certified training for language interpretation.
Okay.
We actually, before partnering with the city, we as an agency, during the peak of the pandemic, we launched a medical interpretation training from CORI with the partnership with CCCS. So we already have experience working with them.
Okay.
And then somehow they were chosen as one of the partners to do this program.
Is this kind of groundbreaking, Philip? Is this being done anywhere else, do you know?
I think funniest thing is, very good question. Is it groundbreaking? I think it's groundbreaking in terms of really tapping into the talents that we have
right.
within the city. And then also a city being a leader to willing to do something like that, I think is a groundbreaking. And then I think we have over more than 60 or more than that to people to sign up.
Wow.
But of course the class is not, we cannot have the capacity for 60. We screened that.
Yep.
And so it was very, very popular.
Okay.
So.
Super. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about then the English workforce training program and what that is, you know, different from this interpretation program.
Yes.
Yes. So CORI has always provided this ESOL classes from level zero, where you can't speak English, to advanced. We decided to pilot the ESOL workforce classes because, especially during the pandemic, we know that there was a great need of the students to find new jobs. They took an opportunity to learn more English and also possibly apply for new jobs. So we took a survey of our students and found out what the exact needs were in regards to what field or career path they wanted to go into.
Yep.
So we right now started three different classes, and those are healthcare, hospitality, and a restaurant, and then the third is business. And we're slowly growing, steady growth of more interest in participating in the classes, because a lot of the immigrants who come from wherever their native country is in the world, they had jobs.
Of course,
you know, they were managers in the restaurant, or they were HR director, and then when they immigrated here to America, because of that language barrier, it was hard for them to get back into their field.
Yeah.
So offering these ESOL classes for that specific career path will give them the boost and the confidence to work towards to getting back into the field that they are comfortable and they excel in.
Yeah, they have some of the basic skills already needed, obviously, if they've been working in that field.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to adapt it to what's required here, right, as opposed to their home country.
Yeah, I taught ESOL actually my first time in Quarry. I was not where I am today. I started off as an ESL teacher, and some of my students, I had one student who was the HR manager for a cell phone company in China.
Okay.
And I had another favorite classmate, she was a lawyer for 5 years in Brazil. But because they came over here for family reasons and also for marriage, things like that, they couldn't re-enter into the workforce as an HR or as a lawyer. So we want to provide this new track to encourage them and equip them so they can do it.
Also, things like that, things like lawyers or doctors or healthcare professionals, there are different certifications they would need in this country, right, as opposed to what they had previously.
And, and these ESL tracks will help them step by step. Give them the first, like, break the ice for them to pursue, like, the GRE or taking the LSAT.
Right, right. And then be recertified in their in their profession, right?
And we're encouraging them to do this because being bilingual in Quincy, actually in America, is an asset. You know, being able to speak two languages means that you can service more people, you can help more people.
Yeah, particularly in urban areas, you know, for sure. Quincy is a great example, I would think, of a microcosm of what's going on in cities and towns, you know, across the country. So could be, could serve as a model.
Yes, I hope.
Let's talk a little bit about AAPI Heritage Month, which is Asian American Pacific Islanders Heritage Month, right? It is May this year, and every year, actually. But there's something special happening this year at Fenway Park.
Philip can take that one.
Okay.
Oh, sure, sure. So last year we did amazing work in the partnership with the city and legislators in terms of standing up for our brothers and sisters across the country with, you know, the growing hate crimes and stuff like that. So we have forums and rallies, you know, the team been leading that and helping the youth, helping, you know, the public citizens, elders and stuff like that. And this year, we're still doing that. We're going to do that, and then we're going to continue to do our whistle project that we launched last year.
Oh, I do remember that.
Yep,
yes.
To stop against AAPI hate.
Yes. Essentially, you gave out whistles.
Yeah, we gave out whistles
for folks to use if they feel being threatened. Right?
Yeah, it's a simple too. So this year we'll continue to do it, and this year we're also being asked by the Boston Red Sox. To jumpstart, to launch their celebration on May 3rd at Fenway Park. So we will be organizing the performance with a lion dragon dance, the Japanese drumming, and then we're also working with the Sox, the Red Sox, on providing culturally sensitive Pan-Asian food at the concessions for for all the people.
And you're throwing out the first pitch, is that right?
Because of State Rep Chen, you know, connected. Last year I did, so.
I have the video still.
Oh, you did, yeah. So it was totally like 10 hours crash course. I never threw a ball before that, so don't tell anyone. So then, yeah, I got the call 24 hours before that. Then I tap into my neighbors, and then,
So. But we can move the base up a little closer to home plate. But this is May 3rd, and the whole month of May is
the
there
whole
are
month
events
in May.
Happening,
the
right?
whole month in May. Yeah. Is, yeah, so it's going to be all the initiatives that we are doing. Really, I think the bottom line is we want to continue to work with everyone to recognize, you know, there's a support here. We value their voice, and we want to take care of our people.
All right. Tina, you wanted to mention something before we ran out of time about, again, the interpretation program, asking folks to join it, right?
Yes, actually, we start, as Rocky said, like we start the first core on this spring, and we hope, like, we would like to continue this community interpretation training program in the fall and open, like, to any, like, a Quincy resident who has, like, a bilingual, who has a passion and interest in giving back, helping the immigrants in Quincy to break the language barrier, because we realize, like, you know, language. The access, the language barrier is a very important, like, for the seniors, for the families, even for the new immigrants. They first step to come here, they do not know, like, the language, so they do not know how to reach out, like, maybe seek help from City Hall, from the other, like, a community, like, organization. So I would say hopefully we will like launch this we continue this program in fall and open to anyone like who has like a bilingual ability.
Available on your website? Is there information on the website about this?
I think like the folks that you guys can stay tuned with our social media.
Okay.
And we usually post the flyer and as any like updates like on our Facebook page and also the WeChat account.
Yes. Okay, or just give you a call.
Yep, or give us a call.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you all. Really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
Thank you for inviting us. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. We'll have you back too. There's a lot more going on at Quarry that we didn't have time to get to today, but we will.